Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice with consequences. We can choose to forgive or not to forgive. We can choose to receive forgiveness or not receive forgiveness. But what we cannot choose is to avoid the consequences of what decision we make. And it makes all the difference. The power of Christ, then, in the Lord's Prayer, in these 65 words that is a model prayer for us to live our lives as we pray our lives, is forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Forgiveness. The word for is the first syllable that means moving in a direction towards. It's for a reason. It's, it kind of establishes what's to follow. Give is the heart of the word. It is what God did, that he loved the world so much that he gave himself, his only son, that who would ever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That is, in the giving and the receiving is the rhythm of life, giving then. And the suffix, the N-E-S-S, means the fullness or the state or condition of. The state or condition of forgiving. How is your forgiveness? What choice have you made about forgiving or being forgiven? What choices are you making for the rest of your life? Mahatma Gandhi, it was by almost every standard, was one of the most transforming figures of the 20th century. And a key within his life work was a reconciliation within the different caste systems of Hinduism of India, with Hindus and Muslims, and with Christians. And so through the course of time, when I've taken a look at his life and wondered where he got his central teaching, and talked to people who have lived and worked in the shadow of his life legacy, it's become clear by those who have shared with me that he got the understanding of forgiveness from Christ and the Gospels. Other religions will speak at forgiveness, but there is no other religion that focuses on a living relationship with God around grace and forgiveness. It is about works or an eye for an eye. It's about how you're born or where you're born or what you have or what you don't have. It is can be about justice, but at the heart of the gospel is the heart of grace. It is the heart of God's love that has transforming power to forgive us in our sins so we can be set free from our sins. Recently, I was with a long-term friend of Jacob Joseph. We met for a conversation at our TriPoint campus, and while we're there and talking about his work in ministry in the foothills of the Himalaya Mountains, about a work in the midst of a rising government movement in India that's leaving less and less room for Christians to exercise their faith. In the midst of that period of current stress and crisis around religious freedom or the lack of it within India, and getting caught up in Jacob Joseph's ministry, I again went back. I said, well, where was it that you think Gandhi got his teaching on forgiveness? Well, he had to get it right from the heart of Christ in the Gospels. Gandhi himself said that. It was a while back. I was in Morehouse College in Atlanta, there for about 3 days, and I was with the grandson of Gandhi during that period of time. And as we chatted with each other, as along with some other people, Gandhi's grandson told this story, that when he was a little boy, his parents brought him to his grandfather, Mahatma Gandhi. And his son had said to his father, said, now, grandfather, I want you to tell my grandson that he needs to stop eating sweets because he's eating too many sweets. Sound familiar? It's across cultures in many ways. And so Gandhi put his grandson on his lap and asked him some questions. And then he told his grandson to come back in 2 weeks. So The son came up to me after his chat with his son, Gandhi's grandson, and said, "What did you say?" And I said, "Come back in 2 weeks." "That's all you told him?" "Yes, come back in 2 weeks." So 2 weeks he came back, and the grandson's really curious. And Gandhi said, "Now, you need to cut out so much sugar in your life." "How can I do that, grandfather?" "Well, in these 2 weeks, I have taken no sugar. I've removed sugar from my life, so I can tell you how to remove it from your life." The grandson never forgot that story, and this life principle is exactly a principle that Christ embodied by the grace of being the Messiah, the only Son of God, with his redemption cause, to take on our sin so our sins could be forgiven. Understanding where people come from is key. You see, we can choose forgiveness, or we can choose bitterness. And if we fill our life with bitterness, then it will make us an unhappy, an ungrateful, a cancerous people of the soul. But if we choose forgiveness, the state or condition of forgiving within our life, we will find in the midst of life pains and troubles and difficulties a pathway to understand where people are coming from and how to connect with them, just like you see in this clip. See, forgiveness is really about trying to understand where somebody's coming from that caused them to do what they did that hurt us or hurt you individually or hurting other people. It's to begin with the question, "Help me understand. What was going on? What were you thinking? What were you feeling? Help me to understand." Jesus from the cross would say to the people who were driving the nails into his hands, into his feet, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They think they do, but they don't." To the woman caught in adultery, Jesus said to her, "Oh, woman, I understand. Now, where are your accusers?" They had been made clear in the hatred of their hearts. "But go in, sin no more." Understanding makes the difference. So forgiveness is a choice. It came clear to me a few years ago when I was riding on a plane, and a lady to my right had ordered a vodka and tomato juice. And so the flight attendant gave it to me to hand to her, but along the way when she got it, she spilled it all over me. Now I knew that as soon as I landed, I was going to be meeting with Gardner Kendrick, who then was the deacon chair. And I wouldn't have time to go home and change clothes. And so I was a little ticked. But I said, "Lord, help calm my spirit. Help me to stay centered." Have you prayed that prayer before? And then she said, "I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry." And I said, "Well, where are you going?" She said, "Well, I'm going to San Antonio. Because my fiance has died and we're going there and we're going to have a funeral for him." Well, it made all the difference. I said that there's another way to get out there than vodka and tomato, but let's. And so we talked for the rest of the trip about our fiance and the grief and the sadness and the hope, but then the promise of God's love that can make possible for us. And True to Gardner's character, when I showed up for our appointment, he didn't smell that buck at all. He just forgave me, okay? The world is transformed when we can stand with Jesus on the cross and we ask that question, help me to understand. And what we offer then is accountability. What we offer is not mediocrity. What we offer is don't keep on sinning, but what we offer is an understanding that provides a pathway which people can get out of the messes of their life because they have found a love that is greater than their mess. And one who has the capacity and the strength to reach into the mess of our life and pull us out. Forgiveness is about vision. It is about a vision to be able to see beyond the pain that has caused the mess, a future which can be glorified in the power of what Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us as we forgive others. Next to you, today in worship, everyone has our own story from where we're coming, but on the pathway of Christ, we find that common place to go forward. So I ask you a true or false question. True or false? You cannot personally experience the fullness of God's forgiveness until you are willing to forgive those who have offended you. Notice the question is, you can't experience His forgiveness. The question is, you cannot experience the fullness of His forgiveness. And you go to Matthew 6, 14 and 15, right after the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus makes it very clear that you can't know the power of the forgiveness until you have begun to forgive other people. Forgiveness is a choice. It is a choice with consequences. Two, expand. Expand your capacity to learn and lean into God's mercy. Corporations are wanting to be able to expand their capacity to both create the product and to deliver the product. We in our lives seek to expand our capacity for knowledge or for talent. We expand the capacity of our life. And Christ says, let me explain to you what the most important capacity, and it comes in your soul, and it comes by the spiritual delivery system of a grace relationship with me. And how do we expand the capacity? Well, it comes with a price. Not a price of works righteousness, not a price that we do it on our own, but it's a price of what we just sang about as Jacob led us in, standing on the promises. We really believe that, don't we, standing on the promises? Because if we stand on the promises, then we will forgive others, not just seven times, but seven times how many? 70. See, Peter, when he asked Jesus the question, how many times are we supposed to forgive? And he thought he'd be a noble person, referring back to Genesis 4:24, and he says, well, you know, noble people will forgive seven times. And Jesus heard him, and he says, no, Peter. It is that perfect number seven multiplied by 70. And this is not a mathematical formula. It's don't go multiplying seven times 70 and think you're there. It's really the formula by understanding that if we can live with such a centeredness of integrity and commitment and accountability in the lives of other people, when we may say to them, don't do that again, but here's a way to do it differently, and I'll help you to do that. That's the power of the forgiveness than to give that word. It is God's size to grow that capacity. So we shrivel our capacity, we shrivel our soul, we compound our unhappiness when we harbor against other people. When we, like a ship coming into harbor, and forgiveness is there and it's ready to kind of set us free from the dock, but we said, no, this is what I have, is this anger, this resentment, this bitterness, and I will fill it up and I will keep it there because it's what gives me power. But all the while, it is sinking the ship in the harbor. To grow our capacity then to sail the journeys of the seas of life is to grow our capacity to trust God. And how do we get at that? Well, He forgave us. That while we were yet sinners, He removed His condemnation from our life. so that we then would be able to offer that grace and that forgiveness into the lives of others. So forgiveness is a choice. Forgiveness is a way to expand our capacity for living. Thirdly, forgiveness enables you to heal from your life wounds. Henry Nouwen was a great follower of Christ Jesus. He was a chaplain at Yale, and he taught in locations of France and in Canada. He once said that he realized, being a chaplain on the university campus, that it was all those five-minute interruptions that where it really happened, when the student would come to the door and say, "You know, Chaplain Nouwen, I just need to talk to you for 5 minutes." And as he was finishing that responsibility, he reflected back on his time there, and he realized that's when it happened. And all those interruptions were actually God appointments for grace to come through. He wrote a book called The Wounded Healer. It's become very important in my life of understanding what our call is as Christ followers. See, God will heal the wounds of your life and my life. That Christ's wounds from the cross have that eternal power of God, not only to forgive us from a sin in a state or condition, but to forgive our lives and the wounds that cause us to sin. The wounds for which we're accountable of what we do with them. We're not off the hook of responsibility, but Christ gives us a way to get those wounds healed from within, but not just for our benefit, but that we become a wounded healer for the benefit of others. You see, the very place where you have been hurt in life, God wants to turn that into a source of wisdom and grace and power that you can help someone else who's been in that same place. That's why AA has been powerfully successful. They have a sponsor, somebody who's been on the journey, who knows what it's like to be addicted to a chemical substance. That's why Alpha Home is given a home for courageous women wanting to recover from sinful addictions of substance abuse. That's why Trinity Baptist Church is Trinity Baptist Church. We are a recovering center, not to stay in the addiction of the sin of life, but to be set free from it, empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled with the abundant life that comes by a grace-filled life, and that we help other people get at that same place. You know, there's some people that will never come to a worship service until somebody has said to them, "Been there, done that, know your way out of it. Let me tell you about Christ, and let me tell you how you can grow in your life." That this is a place to invite your friends, your brothers and your sisters. It's a place to invite your family, this community of wounded healers. Now, again, I've said it 5 times. I know you've heard me, but I want to be clear. This is not leaving us in the mediocrity of sin. It is not leaving us in excuse-laden trails of explaining away our life because of what's been done to us. It's just the opposite of that. There is another way, there is a better way. And we don't point fingers at other people. We look at ourselves and say, "Christ, heal my wound, and then let me help heal the wounds of another." That's why Jesus was so ticked at the person in his parable that Mordecai read for us. I mean, who would think it? This man who owed a little to the king of the kingdom of that sphere of land. He owed him barely a life's labor worth of debt. What would have been owed him? But he himself owed the king 200 lifetimes worth of debt. The one whom the king forgave owed him 200 lifetimes worth of debt. He could have never paid it. And the king could have thrown him, his wife, his children, and his grandchildren into debtor's prison, and they would have never got it paid. But Jesus said, grace touched his heart, and he forgave that man. Now, did that man make a choice? He did, but he made a choice not to receive forgiveness. He made a choice not to forgive. Did he expand his capacity? No, he did not. He was ungrateful. He did not expand his capacity to be touched by mercy, to give mercy. And so did he become a wounded healer? Then did he go to that one person who owed him so little and say, "I understand, I've been there," and forgive him? No, he did not. But he threw him into the debtor's prison. Well, people talk. Have you noticed that about people? They talked. And they went back to the king and they said, "You won't believe what he did because we heard what you did. You forgave him." And the king says, "Grace is not about fleeing accountability. Grace is coming face to face with accountability and seeing the love of God. But if you say no to God's love, if you diss it, then what you get is what you have given, and it will come back to you fiercely with destructive power." And that man then, who chose not to forgive, chose not to receive his forgiveness, was thrown into prison for a debt he could never pay. When Jesus said, "Pray, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," it was his way of saying, "I know the life you live. I know your story. And this is how you get out of the hell on earth. And it's how you avoid the hell of eternity, by receiving the forgiveness that I'm giving you, so you may give that forgiveness to others." The state of or condition of forgiving, what is your state? What is your condition in light of his grace? Let us pray. Lord God, we are grateful for your love that comes directly to us. We now step into a time of response where we're saying to you what we feel in our heart about your grace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.